Psalm 23 is no doubt one of the most recognized and quoted psalms of all time. And what we said last week is there's a danger with Psalm 23. The danger is that it kind of just becomes cliche, that we relegate it to tombstones and pictures of meadows in our house and somber scenarios, and it becomes very removed to kind of the world of tranquility as opposed to the hustle and bustle of everyday life. Or either we confine it to beginnings and endings, the launch of something, the inauguration of something. We'll kind of use Psalm 23 or even God, or the ending of something. You'll see Psalm 23 read at funerals or before we bury somebody. So our tendency is to take this psalm and to remove it from everyday life, to place it at the beginnings and the endings. But our goal in this series is to transport this psalm from the Palestinian countryside in which it was written into our neighborhoods, into our homes, into our workplaces, onto our ball fields. Because what we said last week is that the shepherd is good. That the very opening phrase of the psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd," implies currency, implies the now. The Lord is my shepherd. And so there's this relevance to the psalm that brings it into everyday life, that the Lord is good, the Lord is present, the Lord is personal. And last week I mentioned, and this has become even more important as we go through this psalm, that the Psalm 23 is about the shepherd, and it is written from the point of view of the sheep, that we are the sheep, and the psalm is written from the point of view of the sheep. Now, let me tell you why that's important. The primary reason that's important is because when you kind of understand sheep, you understand that sheep are one of the least intelligent animals on the planet. Okay, we're not picking on sheep today, but we're just stating reality. Sheep are simply a few sandwiches short of a picnic, if we're being real. They're not very bright. They're not very intelligent. You don't go to animal shows and see sheep jumping through hoops. Like, that's not going to happen. You're not going to go to an animal show wherever they have animal shows, at the circus or some places like SeaWorld, they have animal shows. You're not going to go to an animal show and have a high wire that's out there. And it's like, all right, wait for the high wire act today. We are bringing in the sheep. The sheep are going to walk the high wire. You know, one time we were at an animal show, and they did have kind of this high wire act for the sheep, like a place for the sheep to come. And it was really risky. And I felt nervous for the sheep, because if the sheep fell, I mean, it was like this kind of the steep high wire. And if the sheep fell off the high wire, they're like toast. It was so steep and dangerous. And they brought two lambs out to perform this act. They were going to walk across this very steep high wire. And I got extremely nervous and like kept getting nervous that the sheep were just going to fall and die, break their legs or whatever on this high wire, this very steep high wire. And so finally, I couldn't take it anymore. I just leaped up from the audience and yelled out, "Let them down. That's two sheep." Steep, high wire, two lambs. That's two sheep. Come on, guys. Steep, sheep, two lambs. I need a symbol or something. That's two sheep. I know that was a bad joke. Oh, why do sheep even exist? Some might say they exist for the meat, but come on, let's be real. Like, sheep is mutton. Lamb chops are okay, but the word that we use for sheep meat is the word mutton. Has anyone ever eaten mutton? We've eaten lamb chops, but like not mutton. So like mutton doesn't rank very high up, does it? Like it's like way below beef, way below anything related to a pig, pork, bacon, ham, and then there's like mutton at the bottom. So like a sheep doesn't exist for its meat. It doesn't really exist for its milk. Like it doesn't even make the list on the types of milk that you want to buy. I mean, like cows dominate that category, right? Like there's cow milk and then everything else. And then the everything else, it's not even near the top of the list. There's like goat milk that goes above sheep. And so it doesn't exist for meat. It doesn't exist for its milk. Basically, a sheep lives to get a haircut. That's why we use sheep, because we shear sheep for cotton. Like we shear sheep for their fur, for their wool. Is it, it's not fur, is it? Is it wool? They live to get a haircut. That's the purpose of sheep. No backflips at the animal show. I would say that they're just below when it comes to abilities and the wow factor, that they're just below a cat. Like if we're being honest, like cat's not like much better than a sheep, right? There is an animal show I did actually go to one time. This story is real. And there was a dog and cat show, which mainly means dog and cat. Because what happened is the dogs dominated like 98% of the show. They were doing all this crazy stuff, climbing and flipping and high wires and all the things I described that sheep can't do. And then it came time for the cat part of the show. And literally the cat came out and walked across some kind of a high wire. It actually had a little bit of a ledge so it wouldn't fall off. I walked across this little ledge and picked up a ball of yarn and played with it. And that was the end of the cat portion of the show. Like, okay, is that worth applauding? We're not sure. So it was the dog and the cat show. So the cat ranks a little higher than the sheep when it comes to forms of entertainment and ability to do stuff. And so if you're below a cat, you know you're in sad shape. What is the purpose of a sheep? Like, it's to get a haircut, to provide wool. I mean, a sheep's life kind of defines its lack of intelligence. I mean, they stand in herds. They just stand around really close to each other, like a close talker. Anybody in here a close talker? Like, you know, understand the space that is needed between two humans when you're talking. Like, I'm a low talker, a little bit of a low talker. You guys know that about me if you hang out with me very long. But there's a difference in being a low talker and a close talker. Because close talkers, like, get up in your personal space. When they have to tell you something, you're all like, back up. Back out of my space. Sheep are notorious close talkers. They stand around in herds. Did you know you don't even have to put sheep in a fence? Like, they won't go anywhere. They're wild animals, but you do not have to fence them in. Because they just stand around really close to each other. Like, ever want to run out to a sheep and be like, just run for it. Like, there's nothing preventing you from getting away. Just go. There's not even a fence. You don't even have to have a fence with sheep. Basically, a sheep will eat anything you put in front of it until it's gone. Like, it just stands and eats what you put in front of it until it's gone. I know some of you wives are thinking, that's my husband. Like, he just sits and eats whatever's in front of him until it's gone. And then you have to force the sheep to move to another location, exactly like your husband. You have to force them to move to another location. Sheep can't hunt. There's no hunting sheep. They don't go after other things. You don't see a sheep like stalking out another animal. There's no stealthiness about a sheep. It's not creeping up on anyone. It's not going to spring into action. It doesn't hunt. As a matter of fact, it is the hunted. It's not the hunter, it's the hunted. Like, we don't use the word hunt about sheep, do we? We use the word graze. They graze. Like, that's the opposite of a sheep and other animals. Like, other animals hunt, sheep graze and are hunted. And so what that means is, all of you really tough guys that get some type of animal tattooed on you, like, sheep is not even on the list, is it? Like, you get, like, a lion or a bear or an eagle or something like big and ferocious. But no one walks into the tattoo shop like, hey, I want a giant sheep right here on my chest. I'm like looking for something that will symbolize courage and ferociousness. Like, can I get a sheep tattooed on my arm? Like, that doesn't happen. There's no sheep tats. That's the life of the sheep. You lead them. They follow. They require more attention than other animals because they can't take care of themselves. Again, exactly like some of your husbands. They simply can't take care of themselves, so they require a lot of attention. They are helpless. They are defenseless. They are notoriously dim. They are without a shepherd, sheep die. Period. Without someone to lead them, someone to guide them, someone to provide nourishment to them, they simply die. They can't exist without a shepherd, without someone to lead them. They just die. And David comes along and he says, hey, by the way, we are sheep. 500 times in the Bible, we are called sheep. 500 times, the scriptures remind us, we are sheep. Now, based on the description I just gave of sheep, that doesn't seem like a compliment, does it? What the scripture tells us and is telling us in this passage is the value of the shepherd is of the sheep is found in the shepherd, right? That it doesn't diminish the value of the sheep because David says, "The Lord is my shepherd. He is all I need, and he knows and does what is absolutely best for me." So we are kind of doing this line by line slow dance through Psalm 23. We did just the first verse last week. This week we're going to continue kind of line by line through this psalm. So let's read verses 2 and 3. That's the territory we're going to cover today. He makes me, again, point of view of the sheep, perspective of the sheep. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. So the shepherd leads. There's guidance and cares for the sheep. There's compassion. What that means is that the shepherd's not lazy. The shepherd does his job. The shepherd doesn't fail. From the point of view of the sheep, what I've described, it's important that the sheep are following the right someone. You're following someone or something. And as a sheep, it is important that we are following the right someone or something. Something or someone is leading you. And from David's perspective, the Lord is my shepherd. It is important that we are following the right shepherd. So look at these phrases. He makes me lie down in green pastures. So those two words, lie down. What do they automatically imply? Rest, sleep, right? If I lie down, can I do this safely and get back up? If I lie down, then I'm resting. I'm sleeping. Like I'm not running. I'm not moving. Unless you're a kind of a shaky person while you sleep and you're always moving and trying to position yourself with a jerk, then I'm moving. But in other words, I'm lying down. I'm resting. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It implies I need rest. It implies that I need comfort. I need calm. I need sleep. Now, this is an important starting point, particularly in our culture of the hectic, our culture of busy, because rest implies that we get tired. There's a need for nourishment. There's a need to be replenished. And we just kind of covered this extensively in our Clanging Cymbals series, that there's the need for rest, the need for calm. The literal translation of this from the Hebrew is that he provides, he makes opportunity for rest. Now, notice the phrase is, he makes me lie down. So there's the implication that sometimes it has to be imposed on us. He makes me lie down. It reminds me of parenting a kid, especially a toddler. Toddlers don't always want to go to sleep, do they? They don't always want to rest. You ever had the kid in your hand that's like, you need to rest? And they're fighting it. They're fighting sleep. Fighting it. How many of you this week that parent, someone younger or older, had a situation where you had a kid that was fighting or someone fighting sleep? Like that's us, right? Levi's a pretty good sleeper, but most of the time, now, the last few days, he's just like when you put him down, he's got to have his little protest moment before he goes to sleep. He'll be tired, and we all get this. Like you'll have a kid that is exhausted. You can see it in their eyes. You can see it in their body language, but they will fight to go to sleep. Like what happens between life as a kid and life as an adult? Like now we have to fight to stay awake, don't we? It's like the opposite happens. It's like, don't try to fight me going to sleep. It will be a fight if you try to prevent me from going to sleep. Like we're looking for any opportunity we can to sleep now, not stay awake. Or if you're my wife, you fight to stay awake in whatever is on TV that lasts more than, I don't know, 7 seconds. She's fighting to stay awake. Now, I'm just to the point now I don't even try to keep her awake. I just rub it in her face like, what happened with such and such show? I'm not telling you. Like, I was awake. I watched it. That's why we have DVR. It's not so you can skip commercials. It's because all you people that can't stay awake can go back and watch what you missed. That's why you have DVRs. And so now we're the opposite. We have to fight to stay awake. We are programmed to rest. Did you know a lack of rest, studies show, causes all these things. It causes increased weight gain and increased risk of accidents, sickness. It's linked to heart disease. It can be linked to cancer. It can be linked to diabetes. It diminishes creativity. It diminishes the ability to think. Even your physical appearance can be altered by a lack of rest. And David said, the shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. That we are created beings who are programmed to rest. In our DNA, we are wired to require sleep. Now, this phrase, he makes me lie down, you ever been forced to rest in the care of the shepherd? You ever had health issues that required you to rest, that forced you to rest? You ever had a loss of something, the loss of a job, some type of life adjustment that forces you to reprioritize, to refocus, to shift priorities? That the shepherd in his goodness makes us lie down. That it implies that we need nourishment. We need rest, even if it's forced upon us, imposed upon us by the shepherd who's good. And I love that David uses the phrase, he makes us lie down in green pastures. He's not leading us out into the brown, dry areas of the desert. He is placing us in areas that we find nourishment, that we find sustenance. It is in green pastures. He takes us where the nourishment is found. Shepherd's role is to lead the sheep to the right fields for the proper nourishment. You know why? Because sheep are dumb animals. They can't get there on their own. And so the shepherd gently leads them to fields that are green, that provide nourishment. He gets them to the point where they can find their sustenance through the shepherd. Ever been there in life? You've been there in life where the demands were so heavy, where you're trying to live life in such a busy, hectic fashion that you miss the idea that he's providing nourishment in the green fields of life, in the green fields of life? I think we kind of live life from the opposite perspective many times. Here is the psalm that we often go by. Busyness is my dictator. I shall not rest. It makes me lie down only when I'm exhausted. It leads me into deep depression. It hounds my soul. It leads me in circles of frenzy for activity's sake. Even though I run frantically from task to task, I will never get it all done, for my ideal is still with me. Deadlines and my need for approval, they drive me. They demand performance from me beyond the limits of my schedule. They anoint my head with migraines. My inbox overflows. Surely fatigue and anxiety shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the prison of frustration forever. That's how we tend to live life. And the shepherd comes along, and he leads us, guides us, forces us into the green pastures of life because he knows what is best for our souls. I love the words of Jesus, "Come unto me, all ye who are heavy laden, and I will give you what? I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest." So this guy named Philip Keller, who is an actual shepherd, wrote a little book. He was a sheep rancher who wrote a book called A Shepherd's Look at Psalm 23. And he gave a lot of perspective on the relationship between a shepherd and the sheep. And in Keller's book, Keller says that sheep only lie down when four things are true of them. One, they're free from fear. So they feel safe enough to lie down and rest. They don't feel unsafe. And so a shepherd, when there's storms at night, when there's things going on, has difficulty getting the sheep to rest because they feel unsafe. They do not feel protected. They do not feel free from fear. The other reason is they are free from conflict. They only rest when they are free from conflict. So if there's one sheep that's kind of dominating the herd and the other sheep feel unsettled because there's conflict, then they can't rest. They demand harmony in the flock. If they're unsettled, they can't rest. The third thing they have to be free from is hunger. They have to be satisfied or they will continually search for food and not rest. And then the last one is they have to be free from pest, from the flies, the gnats, the animals, things that are bugging them. They can't sleep. They can't rest. They're discomforted when they're being bugged by the flies. Okay, so this past week, the Boys and Girls Club had their ceremony where they recognize some of the strategic partners. They're reopening a facility that needs repairs, and they're one of our community partners. So Ash and I and some of our volunteers went to serve and to be recognized there. And the premier speaker was Gerard Powers, who came out of Decatur and played in the NFL for like 8 years. An incredible athlete, but he came out of the Boys and Girls Club, and so he was there to speak. And I felt so bad for Gerard because the entire time he was speaking, there's this fly that was incessantly on him. Like he was speaking, and then suddenly you could kind of see the fly circling and landing. And it, as a public speaker, like I've been in that situation before, and you don't really know how to handle it. So he kind of, you know, brushed it off a little bit, kind of did the whole bottom lip blow, like you've been there, right? Trying to blow the fly away like that. And finally, he like reached his point of frustration, so he just kind of broke into this. Like breakdancing moves. And then he was like, okay, I'm going to go to this side of the stage away from the fly. And you could just see it happening. Like the fly circling over here, making its way across the stage, landing on Powers over on this side of the stage. And so he was being pestered by a fly that never ended. From the moment he started to the time he walked off the stage, he probably doesn't even know what he said because he was pestered by a fly. And so the shepherd's job is to keep the sheep feeling like they're not provided for, like they're not being pestered by something. And so the connection that Keller makes between the sheep and us as followers of God is that we often fail to find rest in our shepherd for the same reasons. The fear that hounds us. That we're not free from fear. That we're living with constant fear in our lives. What's around the corner? What does the next day hold? What if this happens or that happens? And we can't rest in the shepherd because we live life afraid of things beyond our control. What about harmony, conflict? That we can't rest in the shepherd because of discord, because of not having harmony in our lives with other people. How many of you have lost sleep at night because of a strained relationship with someone else? There's this, we don't have the freedom from conflict that allows us to rest in the shepherd. Or the idea of hunger, that we are not satisfied, so we're constantly looking. We are dissatisfied. Or the idea that we're not free from pests, that we have been distracted by things that are, pun intended, bugging us. They're hounding our hearts and minds. And we can't rest in the shepherd. We can't find nourishment in the shepherd because we're not living free. Free from fear. Free from conflict. Free from dissatisfaction. Free from distraction. And the psalmist says, David says, rest in the shepherd and he will nourish your soul. Remember, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I can rest in him. I actually read the verse, the passage at the beginning of the service today. Let me make the connection here for you. He makes us lie down in green pastures. Makes us lie down implies that we need rest, that he oftentimes has to force us to rest. You know why we can be forced to rest? You know why we can find security in rest? You know why we can find confidence in resting and not always being dictated by the spinning wheel, the hamster wheel of life? You know why we can find rest? Because of the verse, the chapter that Ashley read, and many like it. We can find comfort. We can rest because we follow a shepherd, here it is, who never sleeps or slumbers. As the sheep, I can rest in the shepherd and find comfort and confidence that the shepherd's in control because he never sleeps. He never slumbers. He never grows tired. He never grows weary. He's never haunted by conflict. He lives in absolute freedom and absolute sovereign control over our lives. So as a sheep, the reason that I can rest, the reason that I can lay my head on a pillow at night and find peace and comfort in the shepherd is because I am following a shepherd who never sleeps or slumbers. He's not going to bed on you. He's not going to be drowsy when you approach him. He's not looking for an opportunity to lay his head down at night. He never sleeps or slumbers. He is a constant presence in my life. The Lord is my shepherd. Not was, not will be. The Lord is current. He is my shepherd. So in the darkest moments of night, when something is keeping me awake, I can go to the shepherd who is not asleep, who is not slumbering, who provides peace and comfort to his followers. The Lord is my shepherd. There's no reason for me to want. There's nothing lacking in my life with him. He never sleeps or slumbers, which provides me the space for rest in my life because he's in control. What about this next phrase? He leads me beside the quiet waters, the still waters. It's the idea of refreshment, not just rest in the shepherd, but he provides refreshing to my soul. He refreshes my soul. So in the world of the sheep, quiet, that's kind of a word phrase for me to say. In the world of the sheep, he needs peaceful waters. He needs quiet waters. You know why? Because they're dumb animals. If you put a sheep beside rushing water, you know what happens? They'll drown trying to get a drink. It's almost like Levi's at that age where he's fascinated by cups and water and all that. And so he'll have big cups like this, and he doesn't know how to. Here's his way of drinking. And he's all like, right? Sheep on steroids, you take it by rushing water, it will literally drown trying to get a drink of water. They're dumb animals. No high wire acts with the sheep. It's two sheep. Come on. He leads me beside still, quiet waters. They are necessary or the sheep will drown. They'll be swept away by the current. The shepherd leads the sheep to places of calm, not chaos. I love this point right here. The shepherd leads the sheep to quiet, still water. Is water necessary for the sheep to survive? Absolutely. It's absolutely necessary, or the sheep cannot survive without water. But you know the thing that is essential to the sheep's survival? Water is also the very thing that can take the sheep's life. The calm can turn into chaos. The sheep could be swept away by the rushing waters around it. And so we as sheep following the shepherd, it's not the big, massive things in life that often get us distracted. It's the everyday, mundane things of living life. It's the water of life that gets us distracted. We can be swept away in the chaos of just living everyday life. It's in the big moments of life that we tend to turn to the shepherd. It's when there's crisis in my life that I tend to look to the shepherd for comfort, for provision. Where I most struggle resting in the shepherd is in the everyday. It's when everything's happening normal in life. When everybody's on the same page, when work is normal, outside of the normal work stuff, when there's little money in the account, food on the table, cars are all running right, no major problems with the house, right? It's in the mundane of everyday living that I often forget to rest in the shepherd, to depend upon the shepherd. It's in the humdrum of life that I tend to skip shepherd time. It's in the everyday that I forget to get up and find nourishment in the shepherd, to rest in him. It's easy to skip my need for the shepherd when I'm living in the everyday, day in and day out, with no apparent reason or need to rest in the shepherd. That's where I tend to get swept away. That's the current of life that often drowns me out. And I believe that most followers of Jesus become spiritually dehydrated in the daily grind. Not in the like hustle and bustle or something huge in my life. We just found out someone's sick. They've got cancer, there was a wreck, I lost my job. It's in those moments that we tend to turn to the shepherd, like we need his control in those moments. And the good news is, never sleeps, never slumbers, he's there. But it's in the everyday of life, it's in the daily current of life that I tend to become spiritually depleted, spiritually dehydrated. Because I don't find a need for the shepherd as much as I do in the complex moments of life. But the shepherd leads us to the calm, not to the chaos. He leads us into the calm in order to nourish our souls for the chaos. Did you get that? He leads us to the quiet waters, the calm waters, in order to replenish and refresh our souls so that when the chaos comes, we're not swept away because we're resting in the shepherd. I've made reference to this before, but Jesus was drawn to the quiet places to find nourishment from his Father. All the time in the New Testament, we're reading about Jesus withdrawing from the group, withdrawing from the crowd to find the quiet place, the calm place. Because in the middle of the hectic, the shepherd leads us to the stillness for sustenance. He leads me. He leads me. He guides me to the calm places to find nourishment for my soul. What about this next phrase I love? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. The restoration of the soul is found in the rest. It's found in the nourishment of the shepherd. The shepherd provides vitality to the soul. Listen to me. Don't miss this. He is the soul restorer. He's the restorer of the soul. You know what that means? When my soul is dry, when my soul is discouraged, when my soul is drifting, when my soul is depressed, when my soul is drained, when my soul is disillusioned, when my soul is desperate, when my soul is dehydrated, defeated, when my soul is decimated, when it is deserted, it is there that I find restoration in my soul from the shepherd. Man, that was a lot of D's. Did you guys get all those? Those were good, weren't they? Feel like an old school preacher right there. A lot of D's. You want to go through them again? When my soul is dry, when it's discouraged, when it's drifting, when it's depressed, when it's drained, disillusioned, desperate, dehydrated, defeated, decimated, and deserted, that is when he restores me. He is the soul restorer. He is the restorer of my soul. Can I get an amen? Anybody in here like to restore furniture or restore things like that? So we got this table that someone gave us that was an outdoor table that had glass in it originally in this little frame. And in the storms, the umbrella blew over and the glass broke. And so they gave us kind of this outdoor furniture with just the frame. And so Ashley asked one of the men in our church, hey, could you get a piece of wood that will fit in that frame? And the next thing we know, he's built us this awesome, beautiful cherry wood tabletop that fits over the frame. And I look at that and I think, like, there's no possible way I could do that. Like, I could stand beside him and not be able to do that. So taking something and restoring it, making it beautiful like an old outdoor table, turning it into something else through a restoration process leaves us in awe and wonder because of the beauty of it. He is the restorer of my soul. Whenever my soul is depleted and dry, I have someone that brings restoration and vitality to my soul. And the end product of that is the beauty of grace. It's the beauty of the gospel. It is the beauty of restoration. And we know people like that. We know people, and us included, who have gone through stuff in life, and they've been beat up, and they've been torn apart, and their life doesn't look that attractive until they meet the restorer of the soul, who brings beauty out of ashes, who brings awesomeness out of destruction. And you and I are living testimonies, and your story, a lot of you like my story, that there was a time in life where it was broken and torn up and decimated until I met the restorer of the soul who brought beauty to my heart and life. He restores my soul. There's some deep stuff there, right? The soul is like the inner part of your life. It's the dark corners. It's the deep down part that not everybody sees on the inside. They only see what we portray on the outside. But he's the restorer of the soul. Let me give a quick word here that's to me as much as anyone else. As a person whose soul has been restored, be a restorer, not a destroyer. Be a restorer, not a destroyer. Be a restorer through a word of encouragement. Be a restorer through a pat on the back, a hug, an act of kindness, a note, a text, a phone call, a word of support. Be a person who restores souls, not tears them down. Our lives are filled with enough negativity. Our lives are filled with enough destruction. Like, you can watch the news for 30 minutes and have a day's worth of negativity. Like, our social media feeds, our Facebook feeds, everywhere we look is filled with negativity and destruction and negative and bad. And I want to be a person that's following a good shepherd who brings restoration to people, who brings life to people, who brings vitality and positivity to people. Be a person who builds up. Don't be a person who tears down. Be a life giver. Use your words and actions to restore people. You know, when that happens, when that happens is when I recognize in my own heart and life how much I've been restored. It happens when I identify grace in my life. It happens when I recognize I was a broken, beat up person and the shepherd brought restoration to this dry soul. That's when I'm able to become a restorer, a life giver, a person, a source of life and encouragement to other people. Don't be the parent that's constantly tearing your kids down. Be the parent that's telling your kids how awesome they are in Jesus, how much potential they have, how much life they have. Be a person that's positive. Don't be the person at work that's always negative about everything going on in the work circle and with the boss, and people are coming to you because they know they're going to have a listening ear. You be the positive person at work that says, hey, it may not all be awesome, but think about what we have. Think about what we get. Don't be the person that buys into all the negativity. Be the restorer. Be the life giver. Amen. Me, like I'm preaching to myself right now. Because my tendency is to not always be that way. Find your restoration. All right, he leads me in paths of righteousness. We're going to end after this phrase. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Shepherds always lead down the right path. They always lead down. The shepherd always leads down the right path. Listen, God does not guide on the wrong path. God doesn't give you guidance when you're walking the wrong path. As a pastor, I have people that come to me all the time that are on the wrong path. What does God want for me? I'll tell you what he wants for you. Get off the wrong path. Stop walking the path. You say, Devin, what's the advice here? Should I break up with this person? Maybe. Should I stop doing this? Probably. Get off the wrong path. That's when you'll get guidance. That's when you get direction from the shepherd. Because the shepherd doesn't lead down the wrong path. Get off the wrong path and get on the path of right living. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Man, we try to complicate it. On the wrong path, get off, period. Follow him down the right path. Devin, my life is filled with chaos and consequences. What path are you on? God always leads down the right path. Follow him. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. We love that. Those two verses, don't we? Trust in the Lord with all my heart. Do not lean in my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him. And what? He'll make your path straight. He'll lead you on the right path. Acknowledge him. Surrender to him. Walk in him. Trust, acknowledge, and he will make your path straight. Let me give you some really practical advice here. How do I get God's guidance in my life? How do I know if I'm going down the right path? How do I get direction in my life? It's pretty simple. Get the Bible in you. Like, get in the Word. Get the Bible in you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. He's our teacher. He's our guide. These things all work together. Get the Bible in you. Listen to the Holy Spirit. And listen, here's a big one. Be in the flock. Get in the flock. Surround yourself with other Jesus followers who are getting the Bible in them, who are attentive to the work of the Spirit in their life, and are able to say to you, that doesn't make sense. Get off the path. Go down this path. Word, Spirit, community. Right path living. Those are the means that God uses to lead us on the path. Let's bring it full circle and we're done. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Here it is. For his name's sake. He brings us right back to the shepherd. It's always about the shepherd. It's always about him. It's never about the sheep. That doesn't even make sense, does it? It's not about the sheep. Like, you don't go and watch sheep be led to the shearer. We don't stand on the sidelines and cheer, "Way to go, sheep! Man, you are awesome at following the shepherd. You are awesome at growing wool." Like, we don't applaud the sheep. That doesn't even make sense. Sheep do not do anything to deserve applause. We applaud the shepherd. We recognize the shepherd. The shepherd keeps the flock healthy. The shepherd keeps the flock nourished. The shepherd keeps the flock protected. It's not about the sheep. It's never about the sheep. It is always about the shepherd. And us sheep, we have a terrible tendency to try to make it about us. Bah, bah, bah. My needs aren't getting met. Bah, bah. And we walk around like a bunch of sheep, like we deserve the glory. And the shepherd says he leads us in the path of righteousness for his namesake. Don't ever think it's about you. It's not about you. It is for his glory. The shepherd makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us on the path of righteousness for his name's sake. God is not leading, guiding, protecting, nurturing you for you. He's doing it for him. Here's the key right here. Because he is a good shepherd, guess what? It is for your good. It is for your good. This is such an important balance to maintain. It is for your good, and it is for his name's sake. It's for your good, and it's for his glory. Your good, his glory. Because what is for his glory is always for my good. It may not feel good in the moment. I may not get it. I may feel like I'm about to fall off the cliff. Because I can only see from a sheep perspective. I can only see from a sheep point of view. But when I recognize it is for his name's sake, it is for his glory, it's not about me, it is about him. It is for your good, it is for your benefit. We love Romans 8:28, don't we? All things work together for good for those who love what? Love him. It's for his glory, for your good. I don't ever want to get those things mixed up. Because when I start living life only for my good, it will not be for his glory. But when I live life for his glory, then I can know that whatever life brings my way, it is for my good. You know why? Because the shepherd is always bringing glory to himself. He is always recognizing his own glory. It is always for his sovereign control, his grace, his work in our lives. And so I can rest assured that whatever I'm going through in life, when I am following the shepherd, it is for my good because it is for his glory. Does that make sense to you? Man, that's a tough struggle, isn't it? For your good and for his glory. I got good news for you. The shepherd knows and wants what is best for you. But it is not primarily for your sake. It is for his sake. And that's good news. Because when it is for his sake, I can rest assured that whatever happens in life is what is absolutely best for me. My shepherd, his namesake. I want to tell you, that point of view, that truth can change your life in the valley, in the everyday, the grind, the now. When we grasp the gospel truth that the shepherd is leading us for his name's sake, then we can trust wherever the path of life takes us, it's okay because it's for his glory. And if it's for his glory, it is for my good. David's going to take us into the raw reality next week. You know where he takes us? Right into the valley of the shadow of death. The bleakest, darkest moments of life, I can know that the shepherd is leading for his glory, for my good. Full gospel circle here. You know what Jesus says in the New Testament? I am the good shepherd. Not only is the shepherd leading, but Jesus says, I lay down my life for the sheep. What? What? Did you hear what I had to say about sheep? Like, not a lot of good things. And Jesus says, yeah, you're a bunch of sheep, but guess what? Not only am I the good shepherd who's leading, who's guiding, who's protecting, who's nurturing, who's fighting off the enemy, but I value in you enough, I value my glory enough that I'm willing to lay down my own life for sheep. For sheep. For us. All we like sheep have gone astray. And he has bought our value. He has given his life so that we might live in the shepherd's care. Next week, we're going to see what it means to live life in the company of the shepherd and the shadow for your good and for his glory.